Today is a great day for a car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on the SL podcast. Sizohlangana khona.
Good day and welcome to the car wash. This is episode number 65. On today's show, the Chiefs overhaul begins. We react to the CAF Champions League and preview the Soweto Derby. Whether you're listening to us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, or Mahikeng 96.7 FM's Game Time, welcome to the show. I am your host, Salu Paho. Of course, I am not alone. I am alone in studio, but not through your eardrums. I am joined by former Ajax Cape Town and Mamelodi Sundowns goalkeeper, Sean Roberts. How are you doing?
Hello, my brother.
And we are joined by former Orlando Pirates and Mamelodi Sundowns star, Deco Modise. How are you doing, sir?
I'm bad. Yes, how are you?
Doing very, very good. Well, as we march on, so to speak, and the seasons begin to slowly change, Sean, I think we all deserve to be cheered up a little bit with this week's joke of the day. What you got?
All right. It's just a one-liner, but I think it's spectacular. Are we ready? I hated my new haircut, but then it grew on me.
Ah, for fuck's sake.
I can see Teko just laughing.
How much of this is growing on you these days, Sean?
Not much, brother. Not much. Not much.
Well, we start the show with one of our newest segments, hashtag Ask the Car Wash, which is a fan Q&A. You guys are always hilarious on the Facebook comment sections. I always have to edit the questions to make them nicer. Can't be so savage on my voice. But the first question for Ask the Car Wash this week comes from Nkululeko Kondlo, who, this one I'm going to throw at Sean. Have you ever thought of making the transition to coaching, and what do you think are the challenges of switching from playing to coaching?
You know what, it's something that has never interested me, and I'm probably one of the very few footballers that it doesn't interest at all to be involved in coaching. I think main reason is I probably missed the game too much, because I did stop playing quite early, but yeah, I prefer sort of more player management with what I'm doing, looking after players, looking after money, and helping them transition from playing to not playing a lot easier. So it's and things that I've struggled with in terms of my career, I'd like to pass on to the other guys. But in terms of coaching, you know, for me as well, when you play, you live out of a suitcase. When you're coaching, you're living out of a suitcase. I'm a family guy now. I couldn't think of anything worse than living out of a hotel. And again, as Teko knows, just as a player, but as a coach, you're never guaranteed of a job, you know? So it's that, two or three, especially in a PSL. I mean, geez, you know, all the coaches have been around this sort of coaching wheel, and that's just not for me, to be honest. But, I have had a couple of offers in terms of the goalkeeping coaching department, but it's something that hasn't interested me. I forget the second part of the question, Sue.
What are the challenges you think of going from playing to coaching?
Good question. I think probably the biggest challenge is, and I've seen it, I'm not going to mention who maybe, but I mean, is that I think, and it can be a positive, but mostly a negative, is when a player does retire and he goes into coaching, you know, he sometimes doesn't forget that he's not playing anymore. So it's, he's sort of, I wouldn't say too involved, but, every player is different, and so it takes a special kind of individual to become a good coach. It takes time. Do you know what I mean? Like you don't become a player then a coach. You become hopefully a good player, and you slowly slip into a role, and then progress. So from becoming a player straight into a coaching role is very, very difficult, and it's very rare you see. And look at Benny now. You know, it's taking his time. You know, he's 5 or 6 years into it now. It doesn't happen overnight. And I think that's what catches players out. And sometimes they'll start and finish too early because they think it's the road to success to jump straight into coaching. And it's not that simple. And for me, I don't think I'm patient enough for that, to be honest.
Yeah, it is something I think Deco has told us off air as well, that everybody always asks you, you know, when are you going to switch over to coaching? Everybody seems to be doing it now. is it also something that still to this day, one of the guys actually commented saying there was a rumor that you were offered a technical role at Pirates. We won't ask you to confirm or deny whether you were offered that, but is it something that has ever interested you, or has it always been like, nah, you know, when you hung up the boots, it was done?
Slu, for me is, I'll probably maybe steal a couple of words from Sean. For me, I've never seen myself as a coach. And with that, I feel like there's a lot of stuff that needs to be done as a coach, merely because I know the game very well and I played for so long. And there's certain things that as a player as well, that I wished I was coached earlier on in my life, in my career, that could have made me a better player. And that didn't happen. And for me, I've always looked at coaches as people that are supposed to improve players' performance and improve their abilities, you know, to become better. It's not about, yes, it's important to win trophies and all this type of stuff. But for me, is seeing players grow and becoming better and better because of their contribution as a coach. And for me, I don't think I do have the capabilities. And like I get told every week, like, you're wasting your time, it's a sport, be a coach, blah, blah, blah. Like Sean has said, if there's one thing that I hated being as a footballer was traveling and being at the hotel every other day. And as a coach, you it's the same schedule as the players. And I hated that. And for me, I don't want to get back into that situation. And besides, for me, is I've enjoyed what I've done, and I don't think I want to, you know, I want to put a dent into it by start coaching, because now you're going to be judged differently. I don't mind being judged. I'm not scared of that. But it needs to be something that I really want to do, not because people are saying I should do it. I don't have the passion for coaching. And once I do, probably, maybe I might. But for now, I'm still feeling the same way as I was feeling when I retired, that I don't want to be a coach. Yes, I've been offered so many times that come be part of us, come be a technical what. To be honest with you, I'm enjoying what I'm doing now. I'm enjoying spending time at home. I'm enjoying doing other stuff outside football. I'm enjoying, you know, doing different things that are challenging me. And football, yes, as a coach, I will be challenged, but I don't think I want to be part of the conversation of another coach being sacked. Like Sean has said, there's no guarantee in South African football. And besides, for me to learn now, right now, if I had to decide to become a coach, I need to learn from a coach that I know for a fact that will help me transition very quickly. And right now, there's not so many coaches in the PSL. Not to say anything bad, but I feel like there's not many coaches in the league that can actually help me do that. So yeah.
There's another question for you, Teko. This one comes in from Lishoho Nolo Mose, and it's like a two-parter. It's, did you ever get the chance to play for Kaizer Chiefs? And if not, did you ever secretly want to play for Kaizer Chiefs?
Hey, la, Lila. damn. I did have an opportunity to play for Kaizer Chiefs one when I was in NFD. My first season there, I got a call from Bobby, and then he showed interest in me, and then he said we'll talk when the season ended, and it never happened. I stayed in NFD for 4 years, and I was still waiting for that. I was turning down offers from your Black Leopards, your Dynamos, your Bloemfontein Celtics at the time.
Really?
Yeah, true. Because I was waiting for Chiefs. And I came to the PSL back, played for Super Sport. I played one season. And when I was given a green light by Super Sport to talk to all the teams that were interested in my service, I spoke to everybody but Kaizer Chiefs. The reason is Kaizer Chiefs, with all the teams, I've spoken to the coaches and most other teams as well, I've spoken to the team owners. And that actually showed how all these teams were interested in me. While I was still waiting for Kaizer Chiefs, you know what Kaizer Chiefs did? They sent a player to talk to me. So I felt like that was a disrespect, and that's why I never. That was my last opportunity to play for them. Oh no, that wasn't.
Who was the player?
They sent Spium Konza because we played together. Riestas. They sent him to come and talk to me.
Yeah.
And I think for me it was like, dude, I've just spoken to Orlando Pirates. I've spoken to big guys at Orlando Pirates. I've spoken to Sundowns. I've spoken to big guys at Mamelodi Sundowns. You know, and for you. You're sending a player to actually come and talk to me, to come and play for you. That for me, I felt like, okay, they're not serious enough. And for me, it was never about how much they're going to pay me. None of the teams that were approaching me where we spoke about money. For me, it was an opportunity to play regularly because I was playing regularly in NFT. And the third opportunity was when I was leaving Orlando Pirates, and that controversial moment that people thought they knew, but they didn't. I had an opportunity to cross over. Personally, I wanted to, because I felt like after what happened at Orlando Pirates, I need to prove myself again, and I need to be in a big stage as well. I need to be in a big team to be able to pull that through. And my first option was Kaizer Chiefs, but I was told, oh, we can allow you to leave, but you cannot play for Kaizer Chiefs. And besides, Kaizer Chiefs actually told me that I'm more of Orlando Pirates brand than Kaizer Chiefs. So even if I do play for Kaizer Chiefs, people will forever see me as Orlando Pirates brand. And look what happened. I went to Sundowns. That was never the case. I became a Sundowns player. I became a Sundowns brand. And I had three opportunities to play for Kaizer Chiefs, and that didn't happen. And it was an open secret from as a young boy. I supported Kaizer Chiefs because of Dr. Kumalo. And I've always wanted to play for Kaizer Chiefs. But once I played for Orlando Pirates, it became a different story. But to be honest with you, in all my career, if there's one team that I waited for, it's Kaizer Chiefs, but it never happened. And I've got no regrets whatsoever, because I think I've achieved what I was supposed to achieve.
Hick, the only of the big three that Deco didn't get to play for, and there was three chances. That's fascinating.
What about Chipper? Did you play for Chipper?
Excuse me?
Nah, you would go back to Real Stars first.
Of course. Jeez. Anytime.
Last question for us, the car wash, comes from Elton Ursten. This one we'll throw to Sean, and that's, playing for great clubs, and you get this fame playing for these clubs. Does it open other doors for you in terms of interests outside of football? So basically, how has football in your career influenced your life outside of the game?
Yeah, you know what? I think Teco is a good example of how it can in a big way. But I've always said to what I've always done when I played was, you know, you get to go to a lot of these sort of events when you're playing. You get to meet some businessmen, and most of the players sit in the corner and talk to each other. Where I was the sort of guy that would go up to the guys and chat to them and get to know them and find out exactly why we're at this event and what they do and give them a business card or whatever it is, and just keep in touch with them, because you never know how long your career is going to be and what's going to happen post-football. So if a player is aware of it and is open to it, for sure, there's plenty of opportunities. And you must remember, professional sportsmen are very well-liked in the business world because of their professionalism on the field and how that can sort of carry over into the business world. In terms of brands, and Teco has done very well in turning himself into a brand and therefore attracting other brands that want to align with him. So for sure, if a player is open to it and is aware of it, and there's no easier way these days through social media, and I think having the platform of being a professional soccer player, there's no better platform in the world, to be honest. It certainly can, for sure.
And, you know, you always see Soccer Laduma as well every now and then posts like a list of footballers who are venturing into other business ventures outside of the game, which is always dope to see. But from there, we move into our first big story of the day, and that's looking at this Chiefs overhaul, who's going, who could be coming in, and who they should be chasing as they are approaching their first window in two windows when they've been allowed to sign players. So first of all, Siphelele Ntlangase Stash has been released after 3 years with the club, only 38 appearances, no goals, and two assists, I believe. So a tough time that he's had. He's only featured for Gavin Hunt twice. What's your reaction to him being released? Is it one of those where, you know, he was lucky to get the extension in the first place last year, or do you think that he's had an unlucky career with Chiefs?
I think we spoke at length of this last year. We were quite surprised that he was given an extra year extension, and possibly surprised that he took it as well. But I'm not surprised he's been released, and this is no disrespect to him whatsoever. Gavin Hunt went on the record and said it was a management decision. So I don't know what that means, whether it's his decision or not his decision, or but I do believe it's the right decision. If he's not in Gavin Hunt's plans, then unfortunately he's got to go. And I see he started training with Black Leopards already, which is, I presume, would be a short contract just to get him some playing time and hopefully help him survive with an option. But yeah, I did feel he has had a hell of a potential, very, very good player. Struggled to get back, we spoke about that, you know, very good going forward. But what was it, 36 games, no goals, you know, you expect a bit more, so I'm not surprised.
You know, Dicko, you've also spoken at length about him and how, I think you mentioned that he was a bit of a flash type player when he joined, which made him a fan favorite. What do you think it'll take for him to kind of save his career? He's not too old to come back, but you know, joining a Leopards team that's struggling can only do so much. What do you think it'll take for him to turn it around and get back to playing for a big club potentially before he retires?
Sloot, I think to first of all, I think to make it at the top, it requires a lot of work. You know, not just talent, you know, it's off the field incidents as well. It's how you behave off the field and the type of work that you put in on the ground. And Gavin Hunt is one of those coaches as well that focuses also on numbers, and most coaches don't. And I think it's important as footballers to know the numbers, you know, being a talented footballer as you are and playing in the position that you're playing and your numbers are not that good. It becomes very, very difficult for any coach.
But what do you mean by numbers? Do you mean stats?
You mean stats. Numbers, yeah, yeah. And stats. Your assists, yeah. Your goals, and the number of games that you played. And if they don't match the numbers of the games that you played, it doesn't make sense for coaches to actually start playing you. But other coaches, they don't actually look at the numbers because they don't care. You know, they just want the players to be on the pitch. And you're playing for a big institution like Kaizer Chiefs, you know, and you become a fan's favorite. And when now all of a sudden there's no fans at the stadium, so now there's no pressure for them to play you, it becomes a concern. Because like, look at how Kaizer Chiefs are going on with their business. You know, they've got one of the most talented midfielders in their books, but they don't even use him. But that tells you a lot as to what type of a player he is. It's either he doesn't train well, it's either off the field stuff that's happening. And also, I think I respect Kaizer Chiefs as to how they dealt with it. They don't come out and actually say, tell us the whole reason behind it. But for me, I still say that there's a lot of time. There's not necessarily there's a lot of time, but the time is still there on his side for him to actually come back and reclaim his position and his talent, because he was once part of the Bafana team, and I think he got that playing for Black Leopards. I understand why he went back to Black Leopards too, because that's a comfort. That's where he's his surroundings. He's familiar with the surroundings. He's comfortable there, and then probably maybe he can get away with so many stuff there. But like I'm still saying, for any youngsters out there to play for big teams like Kaizer Chiefs, your Pirates, your Mamelodi Sundowns, it's just not about talent. It's the kind of work that you put in. And most footballers are just relying on their talent because they know that I'm a fan's favorite, I'll forever play. It doesn't work that way. Football is evolving, and I think player needs to evolve themselves as well. You need to grow with the game, and they need to be able to adapt to any system and adapt to coaches as well. I think gone are those days where we were still stuck in let's have our South African flair. They, you know, this type of player needs to play because it brings out the South African flair into it. I think football is evolving. I think we need to start playing with stats in mind. You know, we need to be productive on the pitch. And for me, if I had to be a coach, I don't care how talented you are. If you're not productive on the field, I'll never play irrespective of how talented you are. And I think with Spesh, he's super talented. whether going to Black Leopard is a good move or not, that will actually see when the season ends, because the thing is, you would also want to, okay, if it was me in a situation, I'll go to a team that actually maybe challenge me to become better with talented players around me, so I can prove to Kaizer Chiefs that they made a mistake by letting me go. They made a mistake by not playing me. But if he goes to Black Leopards, it's an automatic selection. He has to play. He's going to play because he's one of the most technical players. Probably maybe one of the most talented at Black Leopards. But that doesn't challenge you. You're going back to your default settings where you're very comfortable. So for him to come out of that, if Black Leopards survive that, for him to come out of that situation, it's going to take him a while. So I feel like, you know, he's digressing instead of progressing. And for me, I would have loved to see him probably at Moroka Swallows. I would love to see him at Super Sport, teams that are fighting for something. But he still has time. He still has time. I just hope that he's not going to be one of those players that play for Kaizer Chiefs and wore just number 10 and just disappeared. Because I just want to warn everybody that goes to Kaizer Chiefs next season, guys, leave that just number 10 alone. If you're not gonna bring the results, if you're not gonna be the type of a player that will handle the pressure of playing for Kaizer Chiefs, let alone wearing number 10, if you're not gonna be productive, you're not gonna be one of those players that will be able to carry the team, leave the jersey alone. Wear the jersey at Chiba, Celtics, Swallows, that's okay. Because the Kaizer Chiefs, you look at the past seasons, everybody that's worn that jersey has never done anything for that team. And this is me saying, you know, with due respect, you know, the last time I think a person, the last time I think the person that wore the jersey, I think it was Siyabonga Nkosi, that was very productive for that team. You know, he scored goals. He was one of those, I think when I was playing at SuperSport, I think he was one of those challenging midfielders for me. I think he gave me a run for my money. You know, and ever since then, there's always been a number of youngsters that are coming into the team that trying to wear the jersey and that are doing very well. I'm still saying that jersey, yes, is still available, but you need to understand what it resembles at the team, because it's a legendary number for that team. And I think with Stash, he still has an opportunity. I just wish they could have went to a better organized and a team that is fighting for something, unlike Black Leopards. Yes, Black Leopards are fighting, but they're fighting a different fight. Yeah. You know?
And it's a project going to Black Leopards. But it is a project that Chiefs as well. Some of the names that have been thrown out that they've been linked with is Swallows FC's Hamaldin. They've been linked with this young midfielder from Tonga TFC, Sazi Samahawana. And then they're also linked with Luke Fleurs from SuperSport United. And this is the first time that there'll be real contenders in the transfer window, regardless of their form this season. I think it's still obviously Natsuren is still a huge destination for any player. So, you know, who do you guys think should Chiefs be chasing this next window? Say Gavin Hunt keeps his job next season. You know, keeping that in mind, who would fit the mold in terms of what they're trying to do? Hamaldin surprises me a bit, just because he is. He's 31, and it's like a breakout season. I don't think anybody 2 years ago was suggesting Hamaldin for Chiefs, but who do you think should be on Chiefs' radar?
Yeah, look, I mean, having known Bobby for a while, I think Hamaldin will go. I think he's done a good job, but I do think he'll go. Surprisingly, he will go. And I don't know how it's going to end up, so let's see. I don't know this youngster from Utongati. I'm not too sure who he is. But if you look across all the positions, you've got to say, you know, Kaizer Chiefs in the past, they don't buy players. Do you know what I mean? It's very rare that they buy a player. I think in this window, they're going to have to buy a player. You're talking about Luke Fleurs. He's going to have to be bought from Chiefs. Do you know what I mean? I'm sorry, from SuperSport. So that's going to be interesting, because as long as I've known Chiefs, it's very, very rare that they're going to buy players. But you can go across all the positions at Chiefs, and we can talk about this for hours. They need a whole new team. They really, really do. I think Sofiso Khansi's deal's down there, so we know that left back is going to be taken care of. So what happens to Jürgen Sassmann, I'm not too sure. But you know, the back four, it needs to change. I think the goalkeeping department, they may be adding one there. I'm not 100% sure. You know, Nurkovic isn't himself this past few months, but, you know, but you've got to forgive him because of the previous 12 months. So it's very hard for me to say where they who they should be looking at, because they need a whole new team. They really do. And I think the coach is aware of that.
Deco, who would you be looking at? Because it is a strange situation. I mean, they do have a lot of guys who've struggled for form, but who on their day are really good. So you're not looking to replace a Kamabiliat, but he certainly needs some competition, for example. But there's also across midfield positions that they want filled. So who stands out to you in the league? And who do you think, I mean, Chiefs realistically can get a lot of players. They can buy Sundowns players if they wanted to, but who do you think are realistic targets for them?
So there's a lot of players that Chiefs should be looking at, or maybe should be talking to, because of what the situation is. Like Shona said, I think they need a whole new team. So therefore, when they do the assessment, and probably they're looking at all the positions and who can actually come in and play. But the before I get to your question, I think the problem is that team is not for everyone. You can be on form, you can play well at your own team, and when you get to Kaizer Chiefs, you can fade away into the system just like that because of the history that it has and the expectations that are there. I think the Chiefs should be in a position where they talk to the players that actually wants to come and play for the team, that are willing to die for the team, not because they just want to be part of the Kaizer Chiefs setup. I think that's the difficult part, because I think all along Kaizer Chiefs, the reason why they haven't been signing, because players were willingly wanted to come to Kaizer Chiefs, or you know, in a free transfer and all that stuff, and come on the pitch, they're not fighting for the team. So I think now with Gavin, they're probably maybe introducing a new culture, and knowing Gavin, I know he's going to sign a lot of youngsters that he can coach, that are coachable, and that will actually be able to, you know, to adjust to his system and the way that he wants to play. Look, for me, I would say Khamaldin, yes, he's on song. He needs to bounce. He needs to leave Marco Salos, and Khamaldin has moved a lot. And like you said, it's his breakout season. And I think, you know, as a footballer, you wish and want to play for big teams. And I think if that's what Khamaldin wants, I think he should test himself. Yes. Why not? I think there's a lot of players. There's your Thabo Nodad, there's this Phillies at Cape Town City that can do the business for Kaizer Chiefs as well. And, you know, there's Bradley Hobler. You know, there's for me, I'll build a team around Yanukovych. I want to have the maybe six or five players that have the Yanukovych mentality, that wants to die on the pitch, that wants to work harder on the pitch every single day. And you can see his frustration, like Sean has said, it hasn't been himself, but you can understand that, you know, football is a team sport. You need to be able to help other guys to fight with you, but it becomes tiring at times when you feel like you're the only one that is doing the business. So there's a lot of changes that needs to happen within that team. And with Gavin being there, I think we spoke about it, that with everybody knowing and everybody that supports Chiefs, they need to understand that with all the changes that's going to happen next season, they shouldn't expect Kaizer Chiefs to be playing the same way that Mamelodi Sundowns is playing. They've got their own style. Mamelodi Sundowns have developed their own style of play. Pirates are slowly getting into their own rhythm, and they understand how they want to play. You know, they're using transition, they're using speed and all that type of stuff. They know how they play. And with Kaizer Chiefs, we still have to find out the type of players they're bringing in to identify how they want to play. So I think we need to be in a position as fans of Kaizer Chiefs, they need to understand that what is it exactly that they want to achieve. And I think this is a high time that Kaizer Chiefs, I think it's the first time in their existence where they need to actually buy the whole team, start afresh. And for me, there's a couple of guys that you need to have strong center backs. You can have young stars as the full backs, but center backs, you need to have strong guys that enjoys defending. I would have said Deruk, but Deruk is at Sundowns. You know, you've got Ngobo that is at Swallows as well. I think Kaizer Chiefs are looking more on Swallows as to especially the relationship that they have. I think there's a lot of players that they will get from there.
Yeah,
because
Billy's from Cape Town City.
That would be one of their best signings because I know how he plays. I know his mentality as well. But also the goalkeeping department, to be honest, they need a change. They need somebody that can come in and be number one. They shouldn't be scared to do so. Atlanta Pirates have done so. They had Wayne. They had all those other guys. Ofori came in and became a number one. Those are kind of brave things that you need to do as a big team for you to achieve. And I know how Gavin has won the leagues everywhere he went because he's brave. He does all those decisions. And look at the players that he always signed. He signed your unknown type of players and he makes them superstars. Look at your Monare. Nobody actually thought of Monare anywhere else. Now he's part of the Orlando Pirates core team. Now he's a main player at Orlando Pirates. So I think Gavin will do the same business that he has been doing, especially from SuperSport to Vets in terms of signing players and signing what he needs. You know, and I think it's high time that we, Kaizer Chiefs, I just hope that he's still there next season. They give him an opportunity to do so. But for me, I think in terms of how they want to play, Mohamed Dean will do the business for him because of how he plays. You know, he plays over the shoulder. He's like a false nine type of thing, but he enjoys running. And you know, Gavin up front that he wants people that will run, to put the ball in the back of the net. And Mohamed Dean with playing for Swallows with not so many creativity around, but he still does the business. So imagine if he has creativity around, he's got the backing of the fans, you know, he's got the backing of the coach, you know, things will turn around. And I think for me, the biggest thing, I think that's one thing they need to start looking at as to who will bring in the goals, because other departments, it's neither here or there. You can find them in NFD, like the boy that you just mentioned from NFD, from El Africa, sorry. I'm not sure, I haven't seen him play. But it's just that for me, it's because of now Kaizer Chiefs are in this verge of not signing players. When the season ends, of course, Kaizer Chiefs will be high in our conversation as to who signed and who's leaving as well. But like I said, it's a team that not everybody can play for, but it's a team that everybody can sign to. So it becomes one of those challenges that you can sign to Kaizer Chiefs, but you must understand that the pressure that they are in now, it's going to carry on to next season. So whoever that comes in, they need to understand the situation of Kaizer Chiefs is Kaizer Chiefs are expected to start winning stuff. So if you have the mentality to win, you have the mentality to play harder, to work harder and not, you know, not there to add numbers, I think it should be signed. But Gavin, knowing Gavin as a person and as a coach, I know he will do the business for Kaizer Chiefs. But for me now, it's all rumors. With all the rumors that all the players have been linked to Kaizer Chiefs, I'll actually start commenting properly about them when they sign. For now, it's just rumors because we understand where Kaizer Chiefs are.
Yep. About every single good player this season will likely get linked with them to Kaizer Chiefs during the next transfer window. But from there, we move on to international news.
Do-do-do.
Time for the international news desk, and for that we are joined by international news correspondent for Sokola Duma, Mr. Kurt Buckerfield. How are you doing today?
Okay, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
All good. So first things first, let's have a look at the UEFA Champions League. So at the time of recording, we've watched two of the four games this week. So Real Madrid and Man City both cruising through to the quarterfinal stages last night. Was there anything that stood out to you? I'm not sure which game you managed to watch live. I caught a bit of the City one, but it kind of felt like not necessarily easy, but it felt like they were going through the motions. Are these two teams who are not too concerned with the success and more concerned with, you know, trying to make a deep run, or was there anything that stood out to you or impressed you in this round?
I think, Slu, firstly, I caught the Manchester City and Borussia game, and look, I think what stood out to me was just how defensively solid City look, more defensively solid than I've probably ever seen them under Pep Guardiola. And, you know, you can see that in how many clean sheets they've kept this season across all competitions. But I think they've gone 700 minutes, over 700 minutes without conceding a goal in the Champions League. So I think what stood out for me was how strong City look this season. And I know that they keep flopping in the Champions League, and it's kind of the big monkey on Pep Guardiola's back. Everybody's talking about, can he win the Champions League with Manchester City? Why has he failed to progress, I think, further than, what is it, the quarterfinals with Manchester City? And he's now there, and for me, it looks like this really could be the season they get to the semis, perhaps even to the final. Whether they're going to win the competition, I'm not sure, because, you know, the likes of PSG and the likes of Bayern Munich and, you know, there are a lot of strong teams in this competition, we know that. But I do believe that City, they just seem a class above the rest right now. And, yeah, they just look really, really focused. I think Pep Guardiola mentioned after the game just how happy he is with his defense. And so did Kevin De Bruyne, who said that, you know, a solid defense obviously makes our job easier, the attacker's job easier. So while they've got all these superstar players going forward, what really matters is how many goals you keep out. And City are doing that now to great effect. And yeah, man, that's what stood out to me. But then with Real Madrid and Atalanta, I thought Real Madrid were really impressive over the two ties, 4-1 on aggregates. They don't look finished. They look far from it. And, you know, they've had a weird season, depleted with injuries. Hazard has now picked up his 11th different injury since joining Real Madrid in 2019 for a club record fee. So that's something they'll be hugely disappointed by, but they're still managing to get through. And, you know, Karim Benzema has been in terrific form. We've seen Sergio Ramos now return, also returned with a goal. So it will be interesting to see how far they can go in the competition too. But all in all, it's looking exciting. The Champions League looks really good this season, once again.
Yeah, and you mentioned Hazard. I think I saw a stat that he's missed more games for Madrid through injury than he did during his entire stay at Chelsea. So
yeah,
already
wild.
Yes.
Yeah, he's only played 36 games, Lou, since he joined Real Madrid 2 years ago. He's only played 36 games and scored 4 goals. So, you know, yeah. Things aren't looking good for him then.
That's what you pay the big bucks for right there. Those are the type of ratios we shoot for. In other news, shifting from UEFA to Euro, so to speak, Zlatan Ibrahimovic at the age of 39, coming out of retirement for Sweden. What do you think this means for both the national team and for that Euro competition? Because Ibra is kind of one of those guys now, for better or worse. People focus on him like a superstar, like your Messi's and Ronaldo's and Neymar's. So what do you think this means for both him as a player and for Sweden at the Euros?
Yeah, I think it's great. Firstly, if he does come out of, well, he will come out of retirement, so we're playing these upcoming World Cup qualifiers. I mean, hopefully we'll see him at the Euros this year, which was obviously postponed from last year. But I just wonder if he regrets not coming out of retirement even earlier on the international stage, because of course he retired in 2016 after the Euros in France, and 2 years later Sweden had a pretty decent run at the World Cup in Russia, and I think they recalled at the time for Zlatan to return, but he chose not to. Perhaps it has something to do with the fact that he was playing in America, and maybe traveling might have been an issue for World Cup, you know, fixtures and during international break. So it's obviously great to see, but maybe, you know, he has demons about not going to that tournament 3 years ago, because Sweden really were good. I think they got to the quarterfinals. I think they got a lot further than people thought they would. So look, I think it's great. It's very much a Latin move to return, and then I think he tweeted something like return of the guard. So it's very much in Zlatan's personality to you know, want this kind of limelight, and I think it's great for Sweden. I think they'll welcome him back. I know the coach, Jana Andersson, has been very, very, happy with the news, and I think he calls Zlatan the greatest player in Sweden's history. We know Zlatan is Sweden's all-time top goal scorer with 61 goals, So I think it's good for them. It can only be good for them. He's a massive personality and will surely have a positive impact, you know, on the rest of the squad.
Yeah, I hope maybe he can repair some of the damage he did. I remember, I think it was 2018 or 2019. I think he either bought stock in a club in Sweden or something like that, but it was a rival club to the one that he started with. And so they were like, you remember they were like desecrating his stadium and shit.
There was his statue.
I'm pre-coffee over here. his statue. And it was a couple times. I remember it being a story like 2 weeks running because they cleaned it up and then more people came to destroy it again a few days later. So, you know, but.
Yeah, they did a proper job.
Yeah, he's a polarizing figure naturally though. You know, even like NBA fans don't like him right now because he basically told LeBron to shut up and dribble. It's such an odd
career
he has. And then we finish with another Messi milestone. You know, I feel like every match, it's becoming kind of not a running joke, but a running trend, so to speak, that every match he plays, there's some record that he beats. But this is a particularly, you know, it's monumental for him, I think, because he's been a career Barcelona player. Leveling Xavi's record. And there was another goal scoring record that he beat, but I can't remember that one off the top of my head.
The goal scoring record was 13 consecutive La Liga seasons with 20 plus goals,
which is just monstrous as well. So what do you make of him leveling Xavi's record? Xavi, of course, is another club legend. And you know, we don't know how long Messi will be there for, so I think this is quite a nice record for him to put a potential cherry on the top of his Barca career.
Yeah, I think, look, I think all of these, you know, firstly, Messi had a really poor start to the season by his standards. It was the most human I've ever seen him. He was making a lot of mistakes, poor decision making, he looked slow, the ball was getting taken off him pretty easily by defenders. And this was all, of course, off the back of what happened at the start of the season when he tried to leave. And that was pretty well documented and widely reported. He did want to leave Barcelona and he made a massive effort to do just that, but, well, essentially wasn't allowed to. He tried to break his contract and he wasn't allowed to. But I do think that all the good press surrounding Messi right now, you know, equaling Xavi's record appearances, I think it was 767 appearances for Barcelona, and breaking scoring 20 plus league goals in 13 consecutive La Liga seasons. I do think that all of these things are contributing to a better feeling surrounding Messi at Barcelona. And I do believe that this will positively impact the outcome of what happened at the end of this season now. Because, of course, all the talk is around whether he stays or he goes. His contract's up and they aren't sure as to whether he will extend and commit himself to the club. But, you know, we've only known Messi as a one-club man, and as much as I would find it exciting in playing in a different team, perhaps for Manchester City in England or even for PSG in France, where, you know, he would definitely have a better squad of players around him, I would love to see him stay at Barcelona. I think we maybe touched on it last week, but there's a lot of talent coming through there now. And I just feel like there's a generally better feeling surrounding Messi. And I just think that, you know, things are looking good for him. And, you know, these records, it's like you said, Slu, there's a new record every week. And, you know, now next week when he plays, or this coming match, this weekend, Barcelona playing La Liga, he'll then break the record, and that's going to be all over. He's going to have played 768 games. And, yeah, I mean, it's just getting ridiculous, but it's what we've come to expect from Messi. He's a generational player, more than that. And I just hope that at the end of the season, you know, we can be persuaded to stay, because I do believe that there's unfinished business there at Barcelona, and I do believe that he can be successful in Europe, in La Liga, with that Barcelona side, barring a few personnel changes.
Yeah, you know, I had the thought recently that actually what we all want to see Messi do before his career is over is have some international success. At the national level. Well, he's done everything. You know, even if he does go to PSG or City and win the Champions League, it's not the first Champions League he's won. It'll be his fifth. So, I do think it would be nice to see him retire with the team that made him Messi. But it'll be an interesting one. We'll of course be talking about him on a weekly basis, most likely. But I think that is how we will wrap up international news this week. Thank you very much to international news correspondent for Sokola Duma, Mr. Kurt Buckerfield. Have a solid day.
Cool. Cheers, man. Thanks, man.
And there you have it. From there, we move on to reactions to this CAF Champions League round of action. So Sundowns had a big match against TP Mazembe. They won 1-0. It was actually, I think, their only shot on target during the full 90. But everybody was watching the Chiefs versus Petro de Luanda match because it's a must win for them. Or it was a must win because of how tight their group is. So just having another look at it, Chiefs. So Wydad is first with 10 points, and then Chiefs and Horoya are tied on 5 points, with Horoya having the goal difference advantage. And then Petro is last on 1 point. So obviously everybody wants the Chiefs to beat Petro, which would set them up to at least, you know, get a good result against Horoya and potentially move through. But now they must beat Horoya. Otherwise they have to rely on a Wydad victory. So is this just one of those, have they just given themselves an unnecessary headache? Or is this just the reality of the group that it was always going to be this tough?
Yeah, I mean, you would have expected them though to get the 3 points, wouldn't you, yesterday? That's the disappointing part. But anything can happen in CAF, anything can happen in the league, we know that. That's what football's about. No matter if you beat them 4-5-0 away, and you play them at home, you draw 0-0, it's football. Very disappointing. I think all the players and staff there would feel exactly the same. But yeah, they've left it very, very difficult now for them to get these results that they're going to need. So it's going to be an interesting next few weeks, that's for sure.
Your reaction, Deco, especially because they have the international break, of course, but they would have wanted the momentum going into this weekend's Soweto Derby. So what's your reaction to them struggling a little bit in the smaller opponents?
I think that's been the story for KZ Chiefs this season. When you definitely expecting them to win, and when they definitely have to win, they don't. And it's frustrating because you always feel like this is a team that should win. And when you, especially and with other teams in the Champions League, you're looking at the players, because you start comparing a player to player, you're like, okay, cool. Kaizer Chiefs doesn't have this and this, but they do have this that can actually, you know, able them to win this game, but they don't. But it's been the story for the whole season. And I don't think Kaizer Chiefs, honestly, at heart, they're really, really interested in CAF. I think the biggest focus is also to start next season being in the top 8. I think that should be the goal, to make sure that they are in a respectable position with all the difficulties that they have. And also with the CAF is like we said, it helps them build the character that Dirk Kuyt wants. You know, it pushes them now to be in that continental stage and to play against this, all these different teams. Because bear in mind that not everybody can just play in the national team, so they're not exposed to such games. So with the team as well, it helps you, especially the younger ones. It helps them, prepares them, you know, for the challenges ahead, and then that should actually give them an edge. Coming into the weekend's game against Orlando Pirates, that's a different story. You know, CAF is out of the window. Nothing matters. Who's on form? Who's scoring? Who's not? It's a different mood, a different feeling altogether. And there's a lot of hype around it. It's still one of the biggest derbies in the world, and people who enjoy watching, irrespective of what happens. So I think for me, the results yesterday, it's one of those things that's always been the story for KZ Chiefs. Maybe when it's more difficult, maybe they'll win. Like Shona said, it's going to be very, very interesting in the couple of weeks to come. But I think the biggest concern is in the league than the CAF Championship.
And it's time for This Week in Football History.
Today we remember great moments from the past. We dive into the time capsule. Join us as we remember great moments from This Week in Football History.
Well, this week back in 2007, Tottenham Hotspur beat Watford with help from a rare goal. Sean Roberts will like this one, from goalkeeper Paul Robinson, when he scored from 88 yards out. It's one of the more famous recent Premier League goals, where he takes like a, I think it was a free kick actually from inside their box, obviously. And it's just an unfortunate bounce on the other end and it goes straight into the goal. You know, Sean Robertson, Sean Roberts.
Robertson Spice.
Sean Roberts, you know all about scoring goals, right? From all the way out. This is too easy.
It's too easy, man.
I actually remember that goal. Jeez, bro. I can't believe it was that long ago, but I remember watching that game. That's insane.
How embarrassing would it have been conceding that goal?
It happened to me, bro. We played Bloom Celtic away. Devastating. We were 2-1 up, literally 91 minutes. Long cross comes in, obviously not from that far. Straight down the middle. I come out, I slip. The ball bounces over my head, hits the crossbar, and some idiot just puts it in. So, yeah. And that was, unfortunately, that's how football rolls, eh?
Yeah. It is what it is. And then this week in 1967, four-time Serie A Defender of the Year Alessandro Nesta was born in Rome. And sticking with the theme of birthdays, in South Africa we celebrate former Kaizer Chiefs and Sundowns goalie Brian Baloyi, current Kaizer Chiefs forward Bernard Parker, former Bafana defenders Mark Fish and Matthew Booth, and Banyana Banyana coach Desiree Ellis. Happy birthday to all of those. And from there we move into weekend predictions. So we'll start with all of the other matches. We call them the other matches because the centerpiece is, of course, the Soweto Derby. So first of all, Stellenbosch FC versus SuperSport United. Who is that?
Yeah, I said last week, Stellenbosch are in desperate need of a result. SuperSport playing some very good football. Stellenbosch at home. I'm going for a 2-2 draw. I think Stellenbosch need to fight for their life. SuperSport might take it, but I'm going for a draw.
Stelly SuperSport. Oh, la la la. I've got a soft spot for Stellies lately. I'll go for a 2-2 draw. Yeah. 2-2 draw.
Next, we have Golden Arrows versus Cape Town City. This is a tough. I mean, Arrows are in very good form. Cape Town City are not in very good form. Who do you have in this one? Do you have a Cape Town City upset, a comeback victory, or do you see Arrows continuing their fine run of form?
Yeah, they really are on a great run of form, especially at home. Cape Town City, though, when they switch it on, they really do switch it on. For that reason, I'm going to give it a low-scoring draw. I'm on the fence again.
My friend, Cape Town City has been disappointing lately. I know the previous encounter, Cape Town City scored a lot of goals against Arrows. I think that was Arrows' first defeat in the league, but things are different now. So ever since then, Golden Arrows has been very consistent. And I see a 1-0, a narrow win for Golden Arrows.
Firmly in that title race, they get a solid result this weekend. And speaking of the title race, perhaps the most difficult match in the world to call. How could we ever make a prediction here, gents? Mamelodi Sundowns versus Black Leopards. I mean, it's neck and neck with these two, right? Who is your money on, sure?
You know what? We can laugh, Sue. We can laugh. But Black Leopards, home or away, are not an easy nut to crack. They're not playing well, are they? But I am going for a 2-0 win for Morocco Sundowns. For Mamelodi Sundowns.
Who you got, Deco, for Morocco Sundowns versus?
Oh, man. It's no-brainer for me. But if Black Leopards had... sorted out their defensive issues, I would say, you know, they stand a chance maybe for a draw or something like that. But Mamelodi Sundowns, how they dismantle the defenders in the league, in these teams, especially when you have difficulties in that department, I think they made things a little bit easier for themselves. So I think it's going to be one of those easy victories, maybe two early goals, and then it drags on the whole game.
Yes.
It should be an interesting one. I mean, I'm going to start a weird thing. I'm going to start this thing called stakes, and I'll do it for this match and for the Soweto Derby. So my stakes are, if Sundowns do not win against Black Leopards, I have to do 50 push-ups. If they draw or somehow lose, I have to do 50 push-ups and record it.
Yeah.
And then I'll do a different one. I'll do sit-ups for this Chiefs Pirates match. So to preview this Soweto Derby again, I mean, two teams in very, very different form, particularly in the league. I mean, Pirates are 15 points ahead of Kaizer Chiefs right now. I mean, Chiefs do have two matches in hand, but still, you know, Pirates are in the hunt for a cap spot. Chiefs are trying their best to break into the top eight. Who do you have here? I mean, it's also bragging rights, because Pirates humiliated them in the MTN 8 earlier this season, beat them in the league, I believe. So who is your money on? Do you think that Chiefs can, you know, punch back for once this season?
Yo, a tough one, eh? Bernard Parker, he's back from suspension. Zuma's injured for Chiefs. Mngwane Sam is injured for Pirates. But Mango and Lorch make a comeback. I'm going for a Pirates victory. An entertaining 2-1 win for Pirates.
Entertaining 2-1 win. Yeah. How about a former Pirates prediction?
Hey. Imagine. It's gonna be a victory for Orlando Pirates. Not gonna be an easy one. Chiefs will create chances, but we know the story. It's gonna be one of those one way game. I think Gavin will use more defenders, not to lose the game. And Orlando Pirates will be, being the only team that attacks. So I think it's gonna be a 1-0 victory for Orlando Pirates, but with a lot of interesting stuff in the game, because I think it's one of those games where everybody's under pressure, even the referees themselves. You know, any mistake that you do, it might turn the game around. So I think it's going to be one of those games where Orlando Pirates are just piling so much pressure until it opens up, but there's no other way also to score them. But I think it's going to be one of those 1-0 victory and a very entertaining game.
All right, before I give my stakes, let me ask one more question on the Soweto Derby. From each of you, who do you think, if you're just going to take a random guess, is the player to watch, the player who's going to have a standout match on the Soweto Derby this weekend? Sean?
I think Lorch has found some very good form, and he's slowly starting to get that confidence back. I'm going to go with him. I think he's in for a brace even.
Ooh.
Mm. Yeah.
Lorch with a double. Deco, who you
I was Paseka Marco. The reason is, look, the boy, I think is one of the shortest fullbacks in the league, but his contribution is huge. He always adds numbers going forward. He's got the tank. He runs the whole game. He's comfortable in playing different positions in the game. He's not a typical left back that goes up and down the line. He's an inverted left back. He can play in the midfield. Like, he's a very smart footballer, and he doesn't do too many things. So he's not glamorous. So people mostly don't pay attention to him, but his contribution to the game is huge. I think it's going to have an outstanding game like he had against Chippa in the cup game, where he contributed from a left back position. Second half, they changed in play, and then, and one of the attacking roles in the midfield, he created another opportunity as well. So I think he's one of those versatile players that I haven't seen in a while. And he's a big factor in terms of contribution.
He's going to be one to watch for sure. He actually has 4 assists on the season, by the way.
Yeah.
So definitely one to watch. If Chiefs win this match, no, there's no stakes for me if there's a draw. If Chiefs win this match, I'll do 50 sit-ups. So that's if Leopards draw or somehow beats Sundowns, I have to do 50 push-ups. And if Chiefs win, I have to do 50 sit-ups.
Slew, just go to gym, bro. Okay?
Just go to gym, bro.
Teams have to do their part first, all right? but you know, maybe I will go to gym. You know, the nice thing about gym is I don't have to run there. I can drive.
Zoom, zoom, zoom.
In a car of the week. You have a room.
Well, speaking of Kaiser Chiefs legends, Sipiwe Shabalala has been pictured with a new Lexus RC350F Sport. Now, in all seriousness, the RC350F Sport is something to be generally considered over the other six-cylinder rivals like the Audi S5, the BM44i, and the Mercedes-AMG C43. The Lexus costs around $940, and remember that this includes everything as standard. Expect to pay upwards of $950 for the S5, and the BMW is listed at $932. The C43, meanwhile, is the most expensive of the quartet at $1.1 million. The Japanese two-door is by no means the most modern of the lot, but the old-school charm of its powertrain, the origami styling, and bountiful specification are unique draw cards. It's not a car that I know a lot about, but I do give it an 8 out of 10.
8 out of 10 on the Lexus. Sure.
The Lexus. All right.
You know, that might be my next car, you know, if I manage, maybe to get my next raise. But you know, if I'm going to get a raise, Sean, I really need to be motivated to do so. I think that's the important thing they always say. Tell me what else they always say in this week's motivational quote of the week.
Well, this week comes from NFD star Pochiso Mahlangu, who plays for Pretoria Kellys. Make sure you always fall forward, no matter the circumstances.
Falling forward, that's the way to do it. And you know, specifically his side this season. I believe it was three, if I'm not mistaken, they went through three penalty shootouts in a row.
Yes.
In the FA Cup. So, yeah. You know, if you can't do it in 2 hours of football, guys, you can do it. You can do it from 12 yards out. And on that note, we end episode number 65 of The Car Wash. Whether you're listening to us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, or Mahigang 96.7 FM's Game Time, thank you very much for tuning into the show. I've been your host, Slew Paho. That has been Mr. Sean Roberts.
Awe.
And that has been Mr. Teko Modise.
Awe, Paho.
And we will see you same time, same place next week. Peace.
Adios. Peace.
Today is a great day for car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on the SL podcast. This is a Hlangana car.